Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Hot Topics, where as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to talk about the providence of God. Now, the term providence, referring to God, was a term that was frequently used by believers throughout church history, especially during the time of the Reformers and the Reformation. You read their writings, you see that word providence used constantly. That term hasn't been as widely used in our modern day language, unfortunately, because when it comes to the providence of God, the unfortunate reality is that more and more people in the church today are denying this doctrine. What is the providence of God? Real simple. God is providentially in full control of everything. God is sovereign. Providence, the root meaning of the word providence, means to see in advance or beforehand. Look, provide, to provide for. The providence of God means that God not only is creator of all, God is also the sustainer of all that he has created. For instance, go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we see that very clearly declared. Starting in verse 1, the writer of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, the writer of Hebrews is talking about how God revealed himself to the people during the Old Testament times. He did it in various different ways. Direct verbal revelation, visions, dreams, and so forth. But, verse 2, in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son. That's it, right? And then the writer goes on to give some of the attributes of the Son. Why is he the one who in these last days God speaks to us through his Son? By the way, just so you know, look. The scriptures are called the mind of Christ. In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. His Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. The owner. The Son, through whom also he made the world. The Son, verse 3, who is the radiance of God's glory as the second person of the Trinity, who is obviously fully God. He radiates his own glory as God. But he is also the exact representation, character, being, and essence of God, because he's God. Not only that, the Son upholds all things by the word of his power. You see here, the Son active in creation, the Son upholding that which is created. You see the deity of Christ here? He radiates his own glory as the second person of the Trinity, but he's the exact nature, representation, character of God in being in essence. We see the Son as creator. We see the Son as sustainer. We see the Son as ruler, the heir of all things. We also see the Son who made purification of sins. He's the Redeemer. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is interceding for us as people. And that's why the writer says, verse 4, He is much greater than angels. Which, by the way, there were a lot of the Jews back then had a very high view, too high of a view of angels. And the writer of Hebrews will say, no, the angels are below the Son. Okay? And so we see right here the providence of God. Not only is He creator, He is also sustainer, upholder. Make sense? That means that there is absolutely nothing outside of God's control. As the late R.C. Sproul famously said many times, he's now home in heaven with the Lord, he said, there is not one rogue molecule in the world. Everything is under the sovereign control, the sovereign authority, the providential control of God. He sees in advance, he knows beforehand, and he provides for in advance. Which means that if you have the following three words in your vocabulary, you need to get rid of them. Ready? Luck, chance, fate. I didn't say faith. Okay, fate. You see why those words, no way, no how, can fit in the doctrine of the providence of God? Now listen, why is this a hot topic? Have you ever heard of deism? Deism. A deist, not to be confused with a theist, okay? A deist is somebody who believes in some higher power. But a deist declares that whatever created us, once creation was complete, a deist says that that higher power is removed and no longer is actively involved with its creation. That's a deist. Little further down the spectrum, you have what became very popular in the modern church over the last, let's say, 20, 25 years. It's called open theology. So watch. Deism, something creates everything. That's something, which some deists would even say would be a god or God, but they say he's no longer involved with his creation. Open theology says, well, yes, there's a creator God, but he loves us, his creation, so much that he's given us free will and that he lovingly wants us to freely exercise our free will. And as a result, God doesn't really know in advance what we're going to do. He is open to the future. This teaching really started to infiltrate the Christian church within the last 20, 25 years. It became something that was really being promoted by a lot of the younger guys that were kind of just self-appointing themselves to be pastors. And I want you to think about both deists who say that God's not involved with his creation. He did his part. He created us, but he's not involved. And open theology that says, well, God's involved, but he doesn't know what's happening in advance. He's kind of cleaning up the pieces and the mess and trying to do the best he can. Think about both of these false beliefs. You could see why they would be very popular, especially during a time like this when it comes to the coronavirus. Both teachings, deism, open theology, get God off the, quote, hook, unquote, when it comes to the coronavirus. You know, when an unbeliever says to you as a believer, well, what kind of loving God do you have that would allow this coronavirus, this pandemic to occur? What kind of loving God is that? Well, a deist says, well, he created us, but he's removed. You can't blame God for this coronavirus, they'll say. Or an open theology says, well, though God, listen, they will declare that God is omniscient, but God doesn't know what we as humans are going to do, which is completely absurd, okay? But, oh, now I get it. God didn't know in advance that this coronavirus would be started in that country then because of that situation. And now God is a loving God. He's just trying to clean up the mess and to make... You see how they try to get God off the hook? Both teachings are obviously heretical, right? Because we know, as we just saw here, that which God creates, God also sustains. God is actively involved in his creation. God is not, he's not part of his creation, right? He is other than, he is holy, holy, holy. He is infinite. He is creator. He is not part of his creation. We're not pantheists like those Eastern religions that say that, you know, God is everything. You know, he's the tree, he's the cow, he's the rat. No, we don't teach that. We say God is the creator who created his creation. We also say that God leads providentially, controls providentially his creation, including the coronavirus. You hear what I just said? If you say, hey, I got to figure out a way to get God off the hook because my non-believing family members who are quarantined with me are driving me crazy right now because they keep challenging me about God. How could God allow this to happen? What kind of God is this? Well, if you're saying that God didn't know about this, that's open theology. Or if you're saying, God is not actively involved with his creation, then you're a deist. So either God is not caring or God is powerless. That's not the God of the Bible. Did God know about this coronavirus? Absolutely. Did God providentially allow the coronavirus to be what it is at this point? You're kind of looking at, okay, good. Yes, absolutely. Now, understand, okay? God is not the author of evil, right? There's no evil in God. Well, okay, Andrew, who do we blame for this coronavirus? Do we blame, let's see, do we blame our country? Do we blame that country? Do we blame our doctors? Do we blame their doctors? No, it's real simple. Who do you blame? Adam. That's it, right? When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, Genesis chapter 3, look at the consequences of sin coming into the world. Did sin come from God or from man? From man. By the way, did God know in advance that Adam and Eve were going to sin? Absolutely. Go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. It talks about what will happen with Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet. In verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, again the Antichrist, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world, the book of life of the Lamb, who has been slain. Now, in the original language, and Kresho, I think if I'm correct, in the Croatian language, the translation is, talking about Christ, that he has been slain when? Before the foundation of time. Now, obviously, he was slain 2,000 years ago at the cross. But what Scripture declares is that Christ going to the cross was not plan B, where God scrambled when he saw that Adam and Eve disobeyed. It's not like God the Father at that time, Kresho, you're shaking your head. Am I in the Croatian? The translation is Christ slain before the foundation of the earth. Good. It's not like when Adam and Eve sinned, all of a sudden God's in heaven going, oy vey, I didn't know this. And he looks to his son and says, hey, would you mind now going to the cross and taking care of this problem of sin and death? No. Christ going to the cross was not plan B. It was always plan A. How about that one? Yeah, exactly, right? Think of that one. So not only, Christian, were you chosen before the foundation of time for salvation, Christ, before the foundation of time, was chosen to be the Savior. And so, we don't blame God for what Adam did. God created Adam. God gave Adam and Eve, paradise. And God gave Adam one command. Two trees in the middle of the garden, God said there's one of them off limits. You cannot eat from that tree. If you do, that's disobedience, that's sin. The consequences of sin is death, spiritual death, physical death, eternal damnation. We know what ended up happening. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And because of Adam's sin, look what has come as a result of it. Death, disobedience, diseases. If we're looking for someone to shake our fist at when it comes to the coronavirus, when it comes to all kinds of, when it comes to a loved one dying, you don't shake your fist at God. You shake your fist at Adam. And you lift your hands to God and you thank him that he has provided a way, the only way, for sinners to be saved, so that we do not face eternal death, eternal damnation. You see the difference? And so, we're not looking to get God off the hook when it comes to the coronavirus, as though God either is the deist God, he kind of is going, there's nothing I can do, I'm not involved, or he's the open theology God who's going, I wish I knew, I would have stopped this, but now I'm just trying to figure out how to make this work. No. We teach the providence of God. God is eternal. God is omniscient, meaning he knows the end from the beginning. God is omnipotent. He has all power. And God is omnipresent, meaning that he is fully present everywhere. And so, we, who as believers are obviously at risk when it comes to this coronavirus, just like anybody else, just like non-believers. The difference is this. Well, go to John 16, verse 33. What did Jesus say? These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have what? Peace. Why do we need peace? Well, one of the reasons Jesus said is in this world you'll have tribulation. Let's face it. What's happened here has really turned all of our plans and all the things our schedules completely upside down. Jesus says in this world you're going to have tribulation. But take courage. He said, I have overcome the world. And so, as believers, our peace comes from the fact that not only is God the creator, but also God is the sustainer, the sovereign sustainer over all his creation. God knows every hair on our heads. God knows a thought even before it comes to your mind. God knows a word even before it comes from your lips. God is in full control of everything. And God, in his grace, has given us his written revelation, where God speaks to us through his word by the power of the Spirit. And God, in his grace, providentially, because he knows in advance, he is able to provide for in advance, God providentially guides us, prompts us, urges us, moves us, protects us, guards us, so that as we are marching towards our home in heaven, and as we're in a world where there's tribulation, our God is not an absentee creator who says, sorry, I'm not involved. And our God is not some sort of scrambling deity who's going, I wish I knew. Our God is guiding us, guarding us, protecting us, purifying us, providing for us, providentially moving in and through us to bring about his perfect sovereign will. Although God is not the author of sin, does God providentially work in and through sin to bring about his purposes? Sure he does. Although Satan is an enemy of God, and although God will ultimately judge Satan, imagine that one, does God providentially even work through the actions of Satan to bring about God's perfect purposes? Yeah. Think of Job. Think of Peter. Does God even work through the evil intentions of others to bring about, providentially, God's good, highest good for God's glory? Think of Joseph and his brothers. Theological word when it comes to the providence of God, concurrence. Meaning that God works concurrently with the actions of humans to providentially, sovereignly bring about his perfect will. It's called concurrence. Again, think of Joseph's brothers. God was not the author of their evil actions against their brother Joseph. But God worked concurrently, providentially, through their actions to bring about God's perfect purpose. And didn't Joseph say in Genesis 50, verse 20, to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, the saving of many lives, i.e., the nation of Israel, which at that time was very small. Isn't that what Job said in Job 42? God, I know that no purpose or plan of yours can be thwarted. I mean, again, although Job didn't know, we know because we can read the scriptures, but I mean, the forces of hell were released against Job. Now, God gave that permission. God wasn't the author of the evil. But God wanted to show Satan that God is worthy of all glory and honor, no matter what happens to his people, to God's people. And Job eventually learned that lesson, didn't he? At the end of the book of Job, Job said, God, I know that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And Job's like, oh man, you're God, I'm not. I humble myself before you. Exactly. Think about Jesus. Think of the evil plans of man that brought about our greatest good, i.e. our salvation and God's high glory. You see how God providentially, through concurrence, works through the actions of humans to bring about God's perfect, foreordained providential plans. In times like this with the coronavirus, man, we can grasp onto this truth and be so grateful. Because our God is high and holy. He is eternal. But he is also with us, his people, providentially working in and through us to bring about our good, which is Christ-likeness, and his glory. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.